put all your gear on that you carry, and then roll around on the ground. Now get up. All your gear that's on the ground, that's what you're not going to have in a fight.
Gun Talk should be in your podcast feed. Check out Gun Talk Nation.
What's it like to be blown up?
You know, if it's like C4, it's almost like a smack.
Hunting. Yeah, we talk about that too.
On your crosshairs, I like a thin crosshair.
AJ, you're really dating yourself by calling things crosshairs.
Your reticle, whatever.
Have some fun and stay informed with the Gun Talk podcast.
If you like what you hear and want to support the show, the easiest free way to do it is to follow the podcast and leave a rating and review. Seriously, 30 seconds from you helps keep this show going strong. I appreciate you. Welcome to the program. The elections yesterday, I feel like, especially with the DSA stuff, and I know Trump, POTUS was asked about that. He was also asked about the, what do they call it, the switcheroo, I guess, that he was doing. Yeah, his switcheroo, which wasn't a big deal. It was like one of his deputy comms people that I think that they had in the that they had switched the spot with him. But wait a minute, can I ask a question? If they think that it's such a, because the headlines were that he's a giant coward. Did you see all of those? That he's a big giant coward because he didn't he switched planes and all of this stuff. But if he's a coward, then what does that make for the people writing the headlines that he's a coward, because they're bitching and moaning that they were left vulnerable? That's the whole thing. They were left vulnerable somehow. Good heavens. So which is it? He's a coward, you're a coward, which is it? Pick one. Can't have all the things here. So that is, you know, right kind of at the top. I feel like that story's starting to fall apart, too. Do you think it's starting to fall apart? Because this is not, you know, I mean, look, just there's all kinds of stuff that happens behind the curtains in order to protect Secret Service, or for Secret Service to protect POTUS. And the way that the press acts, they act as though, I guess Secret Service, they think, is supposed to protect them, right? I mean, so I don't know. This is, what cut was that? That was cut.
There were several of those.
Okay, yeah.
Cut two, we haven't gone to yet.
I was going to say, because he gets into, so I mean, this is kind of the thing. You said yesterday that you think that they were mad because they didn't get to leak it. I think there's probably some truth to that. This is cut two. Listen to this.
No, not surprised. I have a lot of threats. I have a lot of threats that you don't know about. Any consequential president has a lot of threats. Non-consequential presidents don't get threatened. And I think that I'm maybe the most consequential president. There's nobody who's done more than
threats.
Me in a period of almost 6 years. There's nobody.
Definitely has threats. I mean, he's gotten probably more threats than I think anybody else. I mean, he's had definitely more assassination attempts on him than anybody that we know of. And maybe, you know, there would be a hell of a lot more if Secret Service wasn't, if they weren't doing everything that they could to get that. So that's the thing. Let me stop at that for a moment. I just had a thought mid thought. Secret Service got a lot of stuff after Butler and the guy that was on the golf course, etc. They got a lot of stuff. And I actually was talking to someone in Secret Service just about standard operating procedure and protocol and things like that. Right. They got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of stuff for the ladies. Remember those lady officers? And then there were all of the headlines about, oh, well, are there standards lowering? Here you have a situation where Secret Service did exactly what they were supposed to do, and they maneuvered Trump out of the way of the threat, and the press is still bitching about it. They're still mad about it. They're still mad. Why? They're mad. They just want something to get mad about. They just want something to just be upset about. That's all they care about, and it's just so damn frustrating. I mean, the story should be that Iran, who these people, well, I can't really, Iran, whom these people would love to give a foot massage to, they love them some mullahs. They're so desperate to be a part of that barbaric Bronze Age, third world sex cult circle jerk. They're so, so happy to be a part. They want to be a part of it so bad. The real story should be that their best friend wants to kill the president of the United States and has issued, I don't know how many death threats. Now, that should be the real story, is that he wants that this entity with whom they insist they and the woke Reich, you know, all of those people who are the products of incest and their family tree all goes back to the same twig. They all think Iran's their friend. Oh, we're so mean. We're so mean. How could we be like that to poor little Iran? But they've issued death threats against the president of the United States, necessitated in this kind of maneuvering. So when the Secret Service does something right, people still bitch and moan. The press is still livid. When they get him out of the way and nobody even knows about it, they're mad. Why are you mad? Are you mad because you didn't know about it? Are you mad because you didn't get to leak it? Are you mad because you couldn't get to leak it to Iran and give Iran some kind of advantage to have them thwart the procedure of getting the, keeping the president safe? I mean, what are they mad about? That's the story to them. Not the fact that Iran, that we're expected to kowtow to, Iran that's killed hundreds of our troops, thousands of Americans, Iran, which funds terror proxies that target our interests and our allies, that Iran, which has issued death threats against the president of the United States, that's not the big story. The big story is that he thwarted them. The hell is wrong with these people? It's just stupid. Just absolutely stupid. We're going to come back to this. So this is actually funny. This is cut five. Go ahead and play NBC. They're just stunned, guys. NBC, it was a cheat off, I think, last night. Does the cheating matter if both of the sides of the Democrat primary, I mean, it's just like the game at that point, right? This is the game. So this is in Wisconsin. You had the super leftist who defeated the super, super socialist leftist in the Wisconsin governor primary. I want you to listen to how shocked NBC, they're stunned, guys. Late Night Ballot Drop, Late Night, which, by the way, sidebar, that's an album name. Late Night Ballot Drop, they're stunned, guys. Listen to this.
Okay. Wow. What the heck just came in Brown? Which was that the, that was huge for her.
Yeah, so that was about 18,000 votes, and she nets 2,000.
Question. Was that the, that wasn't Central Count, was it?
Oh my gosh,
it's possible. There's no remaining vote in Brown, according to our counter. I'll check the check the website.
I said I want percent more, but now I do, because if that was Central Count, what was his percentage of that vote?
Let's take a look.
If this was Central Count, this is the question we're getting at from Milwaukee. If he just got buried in Central Count Green Bay,
it was 44-34. Hong over Crowley.
Okay. Okay, yeah, let's can we ask our decision desk what we think that was that just, yep. And do we think there's Central Count left for, okay.
So that's actually hysterical. They're stunned. So they had a late night ballot drop that brought Francesca Hong, that brought her up. She was closing the gap. And so this was going back and forth. So it was going like this, and then she was closing the gap. Everyone thought, oh my gosh, she actually might win this. And then, cut seven, please. Oh boy, there had to be a correction.
There are two things. There's the audit log and the results. What we uncovered was that five of the sticks had the audit log downloaded and not the results. It's a human error. These things can happen. So basically what we need to do is go back to the operations center and we're going to download out of those five machines the results and make sure that it's not the audit log.
What? Why is this so difficult? Oh, because of the cheating. Because of all the cheating. So she was closing the gap with absentee ballots and then she somehow lost the absentee vote. And that was in Milwaukee County. They had to fix what they called a tabulation error. I'm saying. These people. So this is, we're going to get into the elections. We're also going to get into what this means. And I don't want people to get super excited either. I really don't think that they need to get excited over this. Don't be excited and think that these socialist candidates are getting beat all over the map, because they're really not. And I'm going to, yes, there is a rejection of them by different subgroups of voters, but that's is it enough, though? Because it does seem, a friend of mine said that the Democrats are just negotiating in terms of their surrender. And I think that that's appropriately put. Partners that help bring you the program. It's Alliance Defending Freedom, which is such a great organization. They have been in every single major fight, scoring victory after victory. In fact, a lot of the stuff that you're celebrating today, the reversal of Roe v. Wade or protection of women, women's sports has been brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom. They have protected business owners like bakers and florists after the Alphabet Mafia targets them. They actually won a major landmark free speech victory at the Supreme Court on behalf of a Christian counselor. They are right there in the middle of all of the biggest cultural and legal battles. And they win these cases, setting a legal precedent that we can build off of and use to, as a hedge to protect our freedoms. But they rely on the generosity of people like you to continue fighting these battles, because there's a lot of research, as you can imagine, and it is a long, drawn out process to litigate. And they'll fight. They just need help. They need you to partner with them and help support them as they do it. So whenever your freedoms come under attack, Alliance Defending Freedom is there. Right now, your gift can have double the impact. So for a limited time, every dollar you give, ADF will match it. So 25 becomes 50, 50 becomes 100. But it's a limited time offer because it's only available so long as the matching funds last. If you believe that your freedom's worth defending, you need to act now and support the people who have been out there as the tip of the spear. And that's ADF. Visit ADF.com/Dana or text Dana to 838-848 and have your gift to Alliance Defending Freedom doubled. Join ADF.com/Dana or text Dana to 83848.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the California government is now offering $600 payouts to millions of drivers if they make a parking change. What? That sounds kind of weird. They describe it as a major parking change. They're trying to get people to cut back on their driving for 5 weeks at a time and use public transportation. It's the one car challenge. So that doesn't sound like parking, you dipwits. It sounds like driving change, not parking change. How did this work? Don't understand. So they're saying use public transportation. I would rather not get $600 to not ride public transport because most cities run it horribly. It's, you know, it's awful. I think I've had okay times, and I've had to ride trains to New York and D.C. before and in and around D.C. I've had to ride the train many times before. It's not horrible, but no, hell no. And besides, in a lot of these areas, I mean, no, but you have to work around their schedule. You have to work around public transport schedule. So, no, they said 2,000 households can be eligible to participate. You have to be 21 years old. Oh, and here's the other thing. You have to use the Go Karma app to document your travel and vehicle mileage during the program. So you have to be spied on. That doesn't sound any fun. Should letting children play alone outside be considered a crime? No. And anyone who suggests that it should be locked up and yeeted off a bridge.
Thank you.
I'm done with this. I'm so tired of this. We played outside all the time as kids in the 80s and 90s. That was like all the time as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program. It is our friends over at WebRoot. You want to be safe when you're online. And look, everybody lives online more and more these days. Everything is digital. Your kids are going back to school. You check their grades online. Homework assignments often downloaded online, given online. Grades are online. Your medical stuff, your doctor's portals, all online. Banking, shopping, and gaming. It's so much more than any of these things now. So you want to make sure that you're living a safe digital life. But the problem is that there are a lot of antivirus services out there that aren't optimized and modernized to actually provide the level of safety that we need in our current time. Unlike WebRoot, which is. WebRoot lives in the cloud. So it's not loading up your hard drive. It's not loading up all of your everything that you got and making everything run slow and just drowning down and out your services. This actually uses 33 times less storage space, scans 6 times faster, and installs 7 times faster. So that's less waiting, fewer interruptions, and protection that's actually protecting you without getting in your way and tripping you up. Based in Boulder, Colorado. So whether you're working from home, if your kids are gaming or scrolling, if you're banking, if you're shopping, whatever. And the other thing too, it doesn't matter if you're a student or a business owner or a parent or grandparent. Just don't be an easy target. Criminals aren't looking for the role that you serve in your family. They're looking for whether or not you're an easy target. So don't be one. Right now, get 60% off of at WebRoot. Visit WebRoot.com/Dana and take advantage of this limited time back to school offer. 60% off at WebRoot.com/Dana. Live a better digital life with WebRoot. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of the second hour, and we're all watching that Todd Blanche press conference. We're not going to carry it live. We're just kind of watching it. And I know I was joking to the team. I'm like, well, you know that everybody's sitting back there like, okay, great. Yeah, he's talking about, you know, like the Chinese, you know, people coming in on H-1Bs and the Chinese and the, you know, anchor baby scheme that they have. What about Fauci? I think everybody's waiting for him to say, and by the way, here's a live stream of us right outside Anthony Fauci's house. And they bang as they blow his door off, kick his door in, throw in a flashbang. And then they go in, black sack over the head. They got him in cuffs and they're perp walking him out. You know that that's what everybody thinks is, that's why they're watching this, right? You know that that's why. Now, would that be too harsh? Would it be? I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know. We'll just, you know, we'll see. So, but he's, if anything comes up that's super of timeliness or of interest to you, we'll bring that to you. We'll make sure that you have it. All right. So a few things, items of business, ladies and gents. I've got to share with you the stupidest headline I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah. Of this year. This is my nominee for dumbest headline of this year. My nominee. Which apparently I got to go back and see if I've ever said this before, because now we have a competition. I'm sure I have. But this is the dumbest one of this year. This is something else. So this takes place in Canada. So Canada has a euthanasia problem? I kind of do. Like people, they will actually encourage people, just kill yourself if you can't afford your care that we made super expensive that you have to wait for forever on, right? Let me tell you this story. An 83-year-old devout Christian grandmother was euthanized against her will, says her family, by a care home in Canada. Now, before I can continue, we've got to stop at the sentence. Euthanized against her will. There's a word for that that takes euthanized against her will, all four of those letters, or those words, takes all four of those words and turns it, Cain, into one word.
Right.
Cain, what word would that be, sir?
Murder.
It's murder. Correct. So, I mean, where else would you say, well, Abraham Lincoln was euthanized against his will? I mean, where? How are we going to say this? Right? Euthanized against your will. That's murder. We call that murder. That's like Old Yeller, euthanized against their will. This is so crazy. But that's the headline. That's how they looked at it. Euthanized against your will.
Oh, Lord.
It's actually the headline. Not only that, but that's also how they describe it in the Canadian press. Can you imagine seeing that? Bank robbery, victim was euthanized against their will. It's you're robbing the severity of the coldness of that action. So the 83-year-old devout Christian grandmother who was euthanized against her will by her care home in Canada. I mean, I really am trying very hard to get around the rest of this headline. I just can't. I mean,
a what home?
A care home.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the other part.
Not sure that's what's happening.
It's a care home. Is that a feature of a care home? Just curious. So good thing they have universal health care, right? Up there in Canada. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. There's no difference. There's no legal difference for murder. There's no, just say murdered. No one's euthanized against their will. So apparently the story goes is that Brigitte Stegman, known as Gigi, was euthanized against her will on July 10th. Is that going to be in like the obit? Through the country's controversial MAID program. That sounds creepy. Now remember, MAID, M-A-I-D, stands for Medical Assistance in Dying. But they can't say it like that because that'll scare people. So they're just going to say MAID. The program sees doctors and nurse practitioners help an eligible person end their life with their consent. Now, this is like the third or fourth story that I've heard of people of like made being invoked and the person didn't want to die. Stegman had cancer. She was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer about 5 months before she took her final breaths involuntarily, apparently. And she lived for the last 2 years in a long-term medical facility in Ontario. Her granddaughter, whose name is Brigitte Crannendonk, Kane. It's Mr. and Mrs. Crannendonk's daughter. Crannendonk is named after her grandmother. She held the power of attorney for Stegman. She was the primary contact. Oh, this is getting interesting. Primary contact for all medical and personal care decisions. She was frequently contacted by the staff at the care home to make decisions about Stegman's care. And 2 months before her death, the topic of assisted death. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Involuntary euthanasia was first induced. Gigi stated that she did not want to pursue it. She was a devout Christian. She explicitly expressed that the medical assistance in dying conflicted with her personal beliefs and faith. And she was extremely weak, largely unresponsive in the weeks leading up to her death. And apparently one meeting, she was awake and asked why she was so heavily sedated previously, etc. Anyway, Crannendonk informed the staff she was her grandmother's advocate. Anyway, long story long, there's some sus eyes on the granddaughter. They don't like it too much. Apparently, the story says that the family spent her final moments with her. They got to take her outside, blah, blah, blah. She got strawberry ice cream. During that time, Crannendonk and her husband said they were asked by the care home to administer an administrator to physically assist her by handing her, quote unquote, medical supplies. This is weird. This story gets weirder and weirder, right? So she did not. Yeah, long term. So she did not want to get marked, but she got marked anyway. And the doctor kept saying, I have deemed her capable of making her own decisions. And then, et cetera, Crannendonk apparently asked her grandmother if she wanted to follow through with an end-of-life decision. And apparently Stegman said, quote, I'm going to die Friday. They're going to kill me Friday. And then she wept for a long time, repeatedly stating that this was a mistake. That is horrifying.
Yeah.
That is horrifying. So at that point, you know, the way that it sounds, they said when they went into the room, there was an alarming amount of blood covering her and on the bedding and everything else. And that it was just like a horrifying sight. So I don't know. I don't know. I feel like the story makes it seem like they're a little mad at the granddaughter for not pushing back hard enough. But also, if that's your grandmother, and that's a very confusing, I mean, obviously, no one, the way that the doctors, it seems sketchy the way that they presented it to the family. It seems super sketch. The doctor was then explaining, you know, this is the kind of care that she's going to need going forward. And by the way, here's our medical assistance in dying, et cetera. And then the doctor was asking the granddaughter, do you possess the, you know, capacity to make an informed decision about this? And then he was asking her how many siblings she had and all of this stuff. And, you know, and just this sounds weird. I feel bad for this whole family. I feel bad for the granddaughter because she had power of attorney. And now, I don't know. I just get the sense that they're like, I don't know if they're mad at her because she didn't push back or what. It seems like that this was pushed on them relatively quickly in a short span of time. Like, oh, here, by the way, we can kill her and make all this go away. What do y'all say? I mean, sorry, I mean, medically assist her death and make all this go away. What do you say? Let's do it. Come on, let's go. And then all the next thing they know, this is not the first time this has happened. There was another story of a woman who was changing her mind, but they administered the lethal drugs anyway, and that was it. This is one of the bad things about this. I just get really, this is all super sketchy. But can I just for a moment go back to this headline?
Yeah.
Euthanized against her will. What does that tell you? It suggests not only is it media malpractice because it's murder, but it also suggests a complete disregard for life. We are now moving regard for life in a very dangerous position, even out of utero. It was bad enough that people think that life is only valid if it's convenient and wanted in utero. Now it's, and we told you this was coming. We told you this was a slippery slope. Now it's being applied outside, like years, decades later, outside. Now the standard being applied, at least in Canada and other countries that have these euthanasia programs, is, well, do you, is, are you valued? Are you convenient? Are you an affordable option? And if you answer no to one or any of those questions, then suddenly they're suggesting euthanasia for you. That's insane. That is crazy. It's just a horrible, man, what a horrible way to go. But that headline, though, 83 years old.
Can I point something out real quick? Because, you know, when they talk about the maid numbers and all this, this is adult abortion. We just saw 10 Democrat states are now allowing abortion up to the time of birth. So now you have the ability to kill someone before they're born, and now you're able to do it after. And at any time in their life, if they decide, it's unreal.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible. There was a story of another guy who wasn't able to pay his bills for his medication, and his physician actually suggested, gave him literature on the maid thing, right? There was the guy who had a 26-year-old man from Ontario who had type 1 diabetes, partial vision loss, and his family was publicly critical of the system, and they said that he should have been deemed ineligible. The system failed to protect him. And instead of helping, I mean, because you can deal with that. That's an issue you can deal with. Remember, though, they have universal health care. Universal health care is only affordable so long as there are few people using it. So they actually suggested MAID for him, and he underwent that whole process. They killed him. There was another family that filed suit. Let me open this up. This was in 24 where this happened. This family filed suit because they said that this guy got medically assisted death during a day pass from the hospital. They said there's no safeguards to this program at all whatsoever. His physician was saying that, oh, well, he couldn't consent. There's so many of these stories. Yeah, this was filed in British Columbia. It was a 52-year-old. And they said, well, no, we think he's mentally ill. So we're going to go ahead and approve him for medical assistance in dying. And they even said, the family was like, he absolutely was explicitly clear. He did not want this procedure. But they said, oh, well, his mental issues. Yeah, we're just going to. So he was wrongfully approved of it and underwent it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. There was a 27-year-old girl. This was actually not that long ago. 27. Yeah, that's the sad thing. A lot of these people are in their 20s. And a lot of it is just mental health that can be treated. These are mental health issues that can be treated. Universal health care, though, guys. So a dad was trying to block his 27-year-old daughter's wish to die. She wished to die, and she was trying to do the MAID program. And they were trying to say, how can she consent to this? I mean, she's clearly dealing with a mental illness. And those people that have chronic mental illnesses are supposed to be excluded from accessing this program. But they said, not too bad. They killed her. And there are other families that have raised issues because they're like, well, if we have a family member that needs palliative care, they just speed run you past that. And they're like, well, let's just do MAID because it's more cost effective than palliative care. Remember, this is what you get with universal health care. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. The sad thing is that so many of them are dealing with depression, and it is what they have, and everything that I've read about their cases, this is something that can be treatable. They can be treated, and they can be completely, you know, fine members, productive members of society. But they're never instructed as to that. As we move, the folks who help make the program possible, it's our friends over at Ghostbed. Ghostbed makes the best mattress on the market, hands down. If you haven't switched, I just don't know what you're waiting. Are you just trying to waste all your summer on bad sleep? I'm curious. So here's the thing with Ghostbed. Cooling tech is built into every one of their mattresses. It's not an expensive upgrade that you have to pay extra for like with everybody else. Hot sleepers are some of their happiest customers. And you're going to notice the difference, first off, out of the gate. It's just better constructed. The materials are better. Plus, you have less tension, better temperature, and you're not waking up sore and stiff and tossing and turning. Because if that's you, that's your mattress. And your mattress is supposed to be a piece of health equipment. That's how Ghostbed looks at it. This is all about prioritizing your health. You sleep so, you spend so much of your life in bed, sleeping, resting, restoring. And if you're not resting and restoring, you're imperiling your health. So switch and get a Ghostbed. It helps with these exact issues so you don't have to waste your or imperil your life with bad sleep on a bad mattress. You get 101 nights to try it in your home. And if you do not feel the difference, you can send it back risk-free. Ghostbed's offering all of you out there an extra 10% off. So visit ghostbed.com/Dana and use promo code Dana. Ghostbed.com/Dana, promo code Dana for an extra 10% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So this not super smart Freeport man, Florida man, decided that he was going to climb a tree while evading arrest during an armed confrontation with a deputy in Walton County yesterday. According to the Walton County Sheriff's Office, deputies were looking, they were working an off-duty detail, and they were confronted by a homeowner during a property dispute. The sheriff's office said the man arrived in a vehicle with a gun in his hand and began yelling at power company employees who were cutting trees in the right-of-way. The deputy gave the man several verbal commands to drop the weapon. According to sheriff's office, the guy refused at first and then eventually tossed it on the ground in front of his vehicle. And then he decided to climb a tree to get away from arrest. He was arrested. His name is Raymond McGlamory. That dude's 46. That's something. He was charged with aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer with a deadly weapon and one count of resisting without violence. So when they're telling you to drop it, you got to drop it, right? You can't. Now, this guy thought he was going to jump. Again, why do people do this? This Florida man tried to jump into a pond to evade arrest. He was going to swim away from the deputies who literally just walked to the other side of the pond and got him. Not the smartest person. I mean, not also because I literally just had two stories yesterday of gators trying to eat people who were fishing in just a little body of water. So deputies were searching for Anthony Candelario. They got a bolo for a vehicle involved in a traffic stop. They saw the vehicle. They spotted him getting out of it. And then he didn't stick around. He immediately took off running. And he decided to run into a pond. Now, the funny thing is that there's chopper footage because they had eyes on him in the air. And they located him from the air. And he ran towards a pond and tried to swim across the water. The problem is that deputies just walked around to the other side, and that's where they met him. So he was taken into custody without further incident. That is hysterical. So, I mean, first off, here's my question. We have an inordinate amount of headlines where these people who are fleeing jump into bodies of water. I know we have canines. Can you have K-gators? Just hear me out.
G9s.
I'm saying a G9. Call the G9. And the guy in the pond's like, what? And it's literally the gator, the gator cop. That actually would be pretty amazing.
Stuff movies are made of.
I would watch that. Would you? I would totally watch a whole movie about I don't want to call it a canine gator, a G9. Right? Hang on for a second. Okay, I'm Googling something because I want to know. Oh, so K9, yes, it's for K9, letter K, number 9. So, yeah, we'd have to have G9. Yeah, so G9.
Why not?
Gator 9, what's up? What's up, gators? I'm just saying, that would work. Do you think? I don't know how well the gator would listen, but, you know, they train all kinds of animals in Hollywood, so we'll see.
Keep them hungry.
So, this story's funny. A Florida man threw thousands of dollars from Hoosier banks. Okay, you have to understand, Kane and I are from Missouri. I know Indianans call themselves Hoosiers. In Missouri, Hoosier is synonymous with like redneck or hillbilly, which are also slightly different, but you know what I mean? It's like basically one of those terms. So when I hear the term Hoosier banks, I'm thinking of banks where they're like, you know, Hatfield McCoy people that are working there. Got to tell you. So they had this guy out of Newport, Florida. He's going to be behind bars for 6 years now. Farigno is his name. He withdrew thousands of dollars from Hoosier banks using fake IDs, and he done got caught. Now he's in the pokey, but I can't get around the Hoosier banks. It's funny.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You're also a human being with your own stuff and your own. So it's, you have to have a big capacity. It's a lot.
Yes, it's a lot. And I feel like recently I'm re-famous. That's what I feel. I told my kids, well, kids, hold on, because mommy's re-famous. I don't know how it happened. I think it's Mango Mussolini. I think it's him who did it. He didn't know. If he knew how much he was helping my career and my life, he would shut up about me because, you know.
Why don't you just shut up about him? Golly, I'm trying so hard. I am trying so hard right now, guys. And I'm telling you what, I just got to tell you, people who are on air 4 hours a day every day don't get enough credit when we say things that should be said, but we don't because we're trying to be good people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, that video smelled like hormone treatment. That's what it smelled like, Kane. I don't even know what that would smell like, but this first thing popped into my head. Why doesn't she just stop talking about him?
Yeah.
It's like the only reason that you are the one who keeps making it a deal. You keep talking about him. Just shut up talking about him. If my mom talked about a president that she hated that much, I'd be like, golly, shut your mouth. And then I'd run.
Really fast.
Huh. But that's the truth of it. She's the one. What did you say, Kane? Say what you just said.
Expecting her to not talk about Trump is expecting her to ignore pizza. It's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be successful.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the only reason why she keeps getting in the news. And it's not just that she's talking about him. She says the meanest, dumbest stuff, too. So it's not that she's just, if she was sitting there talking about him, about the things that she disagrees with, like a rational person, it probably wouldn't get as much press, which is why she doesn't do that. It's why she says the craziest stuff, the meanest, most ridiculous, unhinged things possible, because she knows that will get views. So he's not behind this at all. She's orchestrating this whole thing and then simultaneously using it to frame herself as a victim.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a naked California swimmer is accused of killing a Maui guard with a water bottle. I mean, it's Jason Bourne. It was a 5-gallon water bottle. But still, he was a former California college swimmer. He was naked when he allegedly broke into a security office at a Maui condominium complex and killed a guard with a 5-gallon water bottle, say prosecutors. Oh my gosh, his name is Legend.
Of course.
Legend Store. Legend of Lahania was pled not guilty to second degree murder, first degree burglary, indecent exposure, and the death of the 63-year-old. Yeah, beat him to death with a 5-gallon. He was armed with they called it a dangerous instrument, a 5-gallon bottle of water. Let's see. A Maine lifeguard says that a shark, there's like bad water stuff today. Maine lifeguard said a shark dragged him 5 feet underwater as officials warn of increased sightings. Or just don't go where the sharks are, right? There's a place that I go to in the Exumas when we're down there and they feed sharks and these people get in the water by the sharks and they get mad when they get bit. It's like you just jumped into their food bowl, you absolute mental abortion. What did you think was going to happen? We have more on the way. Stick with us.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, realworldleaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
I think it was really inspiring how Mr. Levin just keeps on wanting to grow and like learn more from like the people around him, his peers and his advisor, his father even.
Anya, how do you want to grow?
Well, I'm also trying to grow my communications. I just became the communications chair of my goals TA, student government.
Hey, Brett, this thing about communication, how important is that? And how important is for Anya to continue to develop these communication skills?
It's so important. And I think today, as kids, you have your cell phones in your hands all the time and learn how to look people in the eye, publicly speak and talk to people.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, work ready and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.